Okay, welcome to the season finale of the 20th Century Moments That Mattered. Really covered the major events of the 20th century. I hope those of you who've taken the entire course have a better insight and understanding as to the historical context, some of the major initiatives, efforts, historical events, and some of the Torah perspective on them. I want to express our collective gratitude to Debbie and Simcha Firestone, who sponsored the entire series this year. Simcha, please let Debbie know we're deeply appreciative. And we look forward to their sponsoring and continuing next year as well. We got that on tape? Okay, we got that recorded. So please God, this series will continue next year. So for the finale tonight, we're discussing, out of order, because unfortunately this class had to be moved, but the topic of the introduction of Yom HaShoah and the history of Yom HaShoah. On the one hand, it's a peculiar topic to discuss on the eve of Purim. On the other hand, it's a perfectly appropriate topic, as this past Shabbos we read Parsha Zachor, we reminded ourselves of the obligation to remain mindful of what Amalek sought to do to us, and Al Tishkach, to never forget, to have it be part of our active memory. And that continues into Tanis Esther. Tanis Esther, we commemorate the fast when the Jewish people gathered. The Rambam calls not Zecher Letzara, not commemorating the calamity, but Zecher Letanis, commemorating the fact that we came together and we tried to influence our own destiny by acting as a nation, as a community, fasting, Lech Kinosis Kol HaYehudim. So, to remember the horrific tragedy of the 20th century and the debate that ensued about Yom HaShoah, to a certain degree, is appropriate tonight. By way of introduction, you have source sheets. They're filled with a lot of different sources that come from very diverse places. But almost all of what I'm going to share with you comes from a very comprehensive article that my teacher, Rabbi Dr. Jacob J. Schachter, Rabbi J.J. Schachter, wrote in Tradition, the RCA's journal, in 2008, volume 41. Title of the article is Holocaust Commemoration at Tisha B'Av, the Debate Over Yom HaShoah. Well, that's so nice of you. Thank you very much. Okay, thank you. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much. Holocaust Commemoration at Tisha B'Av, the Debate Over Yom HaShoah, as he always does. He did a very, very comprehensive job, and I refer you to that article, some of which we quoted in our source sheets, which will elaborate even more than in the time that's allotted to us tonight. When we think about Yom HaShoah, it's a no-brainer. It's obvious. There is, through all of history, has never been anything of the magnitude of loss that the Jewish people suffered and experienced in the Holocaust. 6 million and a half children. It's simply mind-boggling. It's astounding. It's impossible to wrap our head around it. And so the idea that there'd be a day designated on our calendar where we remain mindful of this horrific calamity is obvious. I think most in this room probably have experienced over the last several decades attending Yom HaShoah programs on a regular basis. However, we'll see both when Yom HaShoah was first introduced, it was controversial. And today again, Yom HaShoah, it's not that it's controversial again, but we're seeing the attendance in Yom HaShoah waning. The significance of Yom HaShoah, the further out we are, not obviously that we've traveled a large distance, but the further out we are from the Holocaust, it seems to be going the way of other fast days that were introduced temporarily and later disappeared and were blended in to the periods of grieving of the Jewish people. So I want to share with you the history. In November 1942, word had reached the Yishuv, word reached those in Israel, for the first time, the magnitude, just how horrific the destruction of European Jewry was. What was happening, what was underway, how many were slaughtered. And the response was to get together, the response was to be able to gather, as we always have, in prayer and in fast. If you look in source number 1 on page 1, the Jewish Agency Executive, which was the leadership branch of the Yeshuv of Yerushalayim of Eretz Yisrael, proposed a 3-day period for, quote, alarm, protest, and a call to action. And the 3-day period would conclude on December 2nd, on Chaf Beis Kislev, as a day of prayer and fasting. Gimel Yemei Tguvas HaYishuv, Neged Masa Hashmad, Shechilos HaSatan, Menatofas HaNatzi Al Yahadus Baratzein Shalom. If you see, here you have one of the signs that hung to publicize this initiative, this effort, November of 1942. this three-day period. In fact, the newspapers later reported that 100,000 people participated in this effort, that word had hit the yeshuv, and memorial events and services happened not only in Yerushalayim where this was publicized, but a month of mourning was established in 1942 from December through January 43, where every Thursday was set aside for fasting and for tefillah and for prayer. That was not as widely accepted or observed, but you see that even early on, while the Holocaust was still unfolding, there was already a call for designating days of fasting and days of prayer. You see the bottom picture of Herzog, who was first the chief rabbi of Ireland, and then the chief Ashkenazi rabbi of Israel, the founding of the state, was participating in one of these days of fasting and prayer because of what was happening in Europe. In December of 1942, Rav Herzog, the chief rabbi, assumed a major role. He determined to try to encourage everyone to a Yom Tzom Gadol Ve'eval Kaved Klali, a public day of fasting, a public day of prayer. And he tried to include, he recruited rabbis from many countries in the world, Egypt, Iran, Syria, Lebanon, Turkey, India, England, South Africa, Australia, and here in the United States, to create an international effort to designate a day, days of prayer and of fasting. They gathered first in the Chur Vashul in Yerushalayim's old city, which was later destroyed and now has been rebuilt. And they heard the sound of the shofar, they davened, they said some of the parts of Tisha B'Av Kinos, which will be relevant to us in a moment, even though it was far from Tisha B'Av. It was in December, it was in January, it was in the middle of the winter, they nevertheless introduced Kinos. Rav Herzog was so moved by the plight of European Jewry that he wasn't satisfied with these days of mourning and of fasting alone. It was around this time that he went to pay a visit to the Brisker Rav. The Brisker Rav of Yitzchak Soloveitchik, Rav Velvel Soloveitchik, the Griz, the son of Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim's sons were Rav Yitzchak Soloveitchik, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. Rav Moshe Soloveitchik was the father of the Rav, Rav Yosef Dov, whom we call the Rav. And the Rav's uncle was the Brisker Rav, Rav Velvel, Rav Yitzchak Soloveitchik. So Rav Herzog went to pay a visit to the Brisker Rav and to try to convince him whether he would support establishing a day of mourning, adding a new day to the Jewish calendar, a Yom Evel, for the tragedy, for the destruction, to commemorate, to memorialize what was happening and had happened in the Jewish calendar in perpetuity. He wanted to gain support for the establishment of a one-day fast on the 23rd of Kislev, and that's what motivated him to go to the Brisker Rav to get his support. In Shuvas Vanagos on page 2, in Rav Sternbach's Tshuvas V'Hanhagos, in the fourth volume, he mentions exactly what happened at this meeting between Rav Herzog and the Brisker Rav. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam she'akol mi'yed baro. Yesh la'akdim kan uvda sh'ayah etzel Maran Hagon Rav Yitzchak Zev Soloveitchik mi'brisk b'shnas Tovshin Gimel 1943 kishigiu la'aret shmos shiribei rivos achinu nishchatim v'nitbachim, when word reached Israel that so many myriads of our brothers had been slaughtered and butchered, Harav Herzog, Zalba El Maran, came to the Brisker Rav, Ubikesh Lasakin Azayom Evel. Maran, the Brisker Rav, Hisnaged. The Brisker Rav was opposed. Why? To establish a new day on the Jewish calendar, a day of Evel, a day of mourning. He said, Asr Lahosav Al Yemeha Evel. We don't add new days of fasting, new days of mourning. V'sha'ol Aso Anal, Efo Zekasuv. So Rav Herzog said, why not? Where does it say that we can't establish a new day? Amar lo hagriz, so Rav Velvel told him, Hakina shana olam b'tisha b'av al haruge malchus v'armayza v'ashpira, because in the kina that we recite on Tisha B'av morning to commemorate the destruction of three communities during the Crusades, shenirtzuchu b'imei iyar v'sivan, mikonein sham, there in the kina of mi'itein roshi mayim, it says, simu na, we have the words, you're not allowed to add days. I have the kina on the bottom in source number 3. This is one of the kinas we recite in Tisha B'Av, the kina for the Crusades, Mi'tein Rosh Yimayim, and about three quarters of the way through the kina, it says, Kishkula Rigasam Asabel Usapra, Take to your heart to compose a bitter eulogy. Their massacre is deserving of mourning, and we roll around in the dust. B'sreifas be'zolkeinu ulam ba'bira, as was the burning of the house of Hashem. In other words, the destruction of these Jewish communities are as bitter and as painful as the loss of the Beis HaMikdash. V'chi ein lahosif moed shever v'tav era. And it's true that we don't add a new day of mourning for those killed in the Crusades. V'ein lachdim zulasila achara. Nor may we mourn any earlier, only later. Tachas kein ayom levyasiya oira, and so on. V'espada, v'elila, v'efke, benefesh mara. So instead, today on Tisha B'Av, I will cry and wail and eulogize and weep with a bitter soul. My groans are heavy from morning until evening. The Brisker Rav invoked this kina that we have been saying for many years, since medieval times, and said, you see that when it came to those who experienced the tragedy of the Crusades that destroyed the cities of Worms and Spear and so on, they did not add a new day of mourning into the Jewish calendar. They wove it into the observance of Tisha B'Av. And they said Tisha B'Av, which is designated as a day of national mourning for the totality of Jewish suffering, the Crusades, the loss of the Crusades were combined, integrated into Tisha B'Av, said the Brisker Rav to Rav Herzog, so too, we're not going to establish, we should not establish a new day to commemorate, to memorialize mourning for the Holocaust. Following the precedent of the Crusades, it should be woven and integrated into the observance of Tisha B'Av. Hari mefurash ta'af, I'm back upstairs. Asha sav levenergo kilos kedushas b'misos achzarios, b'chozos lo tiknu yimei evel el dochu osama Tisha B'Av. Even though the Crusades, the Jewish communities were wiped out by the Crusaders who came through, who spared no cruelty. So why didn't we commemorate? Why didn't we establish a new holiday, a new day of mourning? Because we don't do that. So just like the Kina references, we didn't do it for the Crusades, said the Brisker Rav, so too we don't do it for the Holocaust. And the Brisker Rav did not quote any other source. No Rishonim, not the Shulchan Aruch, not Chazal. The Kina was enough for the Brisker Rav to express his opposition. And the Brisker Rav maintained his position even opposite righteous and scholarly people. But Rav Sternbach doesn't hesitate to throw in a gratuitous dig that even if it was great rabbis and scholars who had established Yom HaShoah, the Brisker Rav would have opposed it. But especially, it's really introduced by the state, which we'll see is true. Even the chief rabbinate did not introduce it or support it at first. It was introduced by the secular state. And since this is a secular introduction, all the more so, the Brisker Rav didn't hesitate to oppose it. V'kama rabbanim kiblu takanasam, machnifin osam, and there are certain rabbanim, which he puts in quotation marks, certain so-called rabbis, who in order to flatter the establishment, the secular establishment, also embraced Yom HaShoah. Pshita she'en l'shtatefi mahem chas v'shalom. But it's clear, as students, as disciples, followers of the Brisker Rav, one should not follow them. Door, door. Rather, we only observe Tisha B'Av, which includes within it all of our destruction, calamity, loss, murder, death, persecution that we have suffered throughout the generations. And may we stop having these questions and having to mourn these losses. Mashiach should come, b'mehera v'yameinu, amen. Now you might have listened to this. This was the Brisker Rav's, reaction to Rav Herzog's initiative to establish a day of mourning. By the way, you might think Rav Sternbach, the way he presents it, combines it within the Brisker Rav's opposition to the secular state. But notice the date Rav Herzog came to the Brisker Rav, what year? 1943. There was no State of Israel. This had nothing to do with Zionism. This was not an opposition politically. This was a purely halachic opposition that the Brisker Rav felt had there never become a State of Israel. Had nothing to do with Zionism. Had nothing to do with secular Zionist leaders. It had to do with a halachic opposition that because of this kina and the precedent of the Crusades and Tisha B'Av, we integrate all Jewish laws into Tisha B'Av. We do not add new days. Now, you might react and think, well, okay, so we, the YU so-called modern Orthodox religious Zionist community, we, like Rav Herzog, embrace Yom HaShoah. And this explains why the Haredim do not observe Yom HaShoah. But you might be very interested to find out, and this is what we'll see tonight, that it does not divide so clearly along those lines. Who was the most outspoken opponent, not only in the origin, but later appealing, we'll see, to Menachem Begin when he was prime minister, to change the observance from Yom HaShoah to Tisha B'Av, was none other than the Briskerov's nephew, Rav Yosef Dov Soloveitchik, the Rav. The Rav was very opposed to Yom HaShoah. You might be even more surprised to know that a former chancellor, I happened to come across this today when I was researching this, former chancellor of JTS, what's his name? Rabbi Sorsch, wrote a whole article where he believes that the observance of a memorial for the Holocaust should be on Tisha B'Av, not designated on another day, but on Tisha B'Av. I don't think he was moved as a leader of the conservative movement by the Briskerov or by the Briskerov's authority. He came to that conclusion. My point in sharing that with you is only how fascinating it is that the reaction and the positions on establishing a day of Yom HaShoah does not divide neatly or easily along lines of religious Zionism, Haredi, Tzioni, and the like. But there are many, many other factors that are at work, many factors that are at play. It's obviously extremely, extremely interesting that the Briskerov quotes only one source in expressing his opposition, and it is a kina from Tisha B'Av. Since when do we derive or extrapolate halacha from a kina? A kina is a lamentation. It's poetry. It's sad poetry written by our great Paitanim. And of course, it's significant. We spend Tisha B'Av reciting it. The Rav transformed Tisha B'Av by, now it's become so popular to study the kinos. But in the end of the day, it's a piyut. It's a poet. It's not halachic literature. It's not halachic precedent. So the Briskerov's opposition by only quoting this piyut is fascinating, number one. Number two, it's not historically accurate. Because true, the Crusades was not commemorated, and that's what the kina is references, but we do have other calamities that for periods of time were memorialized and were practiced. According to Rav Ephraim of Bonn, Rabbeinu Tam established a permanent fast on the 20th of Sivan to commemorate the burning at the stake of 30 Jews on that day in the year 1171. Now, others were executed as a result of a blood libel in France, and Rabbeinu Tam declared that, quote, this 20th day of Sivan is a day of fasting, quote, greater than some Gedalia, like Yom Kippur. He instituted Rabbeinu Tam that special slichos would be recited. Shortly after the Crusades expanded for the next 150 years, there'd be great devastation for Jewish communities. It overshadowed the incident of the blood libel, and tragically, to give you a sense of scope and perspective, that only 30 Jews were murdered became no longer an unusual occurrence, a tragedy that was worthy of marking a fast, and the fast day ceased. But it's interesting that 500 years later, from 1648 to 1649, Polish anti-Semite Khmelnytsky launched a series of pogroms that we know led to the death, the murder of tens of thousands of Jews and the loss of hundreds of Jewish communities. And now the Shach, Reb Shabsai HaKohen Rappaport, reinstituted the 20th of Sivan as a private fast day for his family to commemorate the loss that he had experienced. And soon after, the Vad Arba Arzos, the Council of the Four Lands, which was the rabbinic authority of Eastern Europe, adopted the fast of the 20th of Sivan for all Polish Jewry in commemoration of what had happened in the tragedies of Tach V'Tat. So the 20th Sivan, both Rabbeinu Tam after the Crusades and skip forward 500 years, again reestablished as a fast day after Gzeiras Tach V'Tat, commemorate Jewish tragedies. How many of you fast on the 20th of Sivan? Not surprisingly, none of you, none of us. We no longer observe it as a fast day. But clearly there is a precedent, at least of temporary, for the generation or generations that follow the calamity, who are looking for a vehicle to express their pain, their loss, their grief, that there were periods, at least for a short time, where fast days were introduced. Which is another question. So that Rav Elval only references Akina and ignores historical precedent that in fact there were fast days is something of note. Rav Herzog himself authors a tshuva on this, and it's on page 3. And it's Heichal Yitzchak. Rav Herzog writes, do the rabbis of our generation have the power to establish a fast day to commemorate the Shoah? And here, the whole tshuva, as would be expected, he goes through a halachic analysis. How are fast days introduced? Who has the power to institute a fast day? Are people bound by fast days that others introduce? And he goes through the sugyas, the Gemara, the Rishonim, and the precedent. He references, if you turn the page, page 4, in Oz Gimel, he references, Chutz mikol zeh harei yesh lanu ma'aseh rav. Aside from my analysis, which yields the conclusion that the rabbis of the generation are empowered to establish a fast day, we have precedent. Chaf Sivan, Shegaz Revat Arba Artzal Zazanos Bo, Ukvar Bimei Masos Hatzlav Nikva Zel Yom Tanis Elin Ishtakach. It was forgotten, but there were periods, two periods, as I shared a moment ago, in which it was observed. In fact, the Magen Avraham quotes it. Shezeh Nikva L'Tainis B'Chomachos Polin, Baskamas Rabbeinu Hashach. The Magen Avraham, the Shach, significant halachic authorities reference this fast of the 20th of Sivan, which was not instituted by Chazal, our rabbis came later. Says Rav Herzog, my halachic analysis concludes it's permissible. Plus, we have the precedent of the 20th of Sivan, and therefore I think it can be introduced. However, he concludes the last paragraph before he signs his name. Ulam heruni echad negdi. However, someone anonymous, he doesn't say whom, has expressed opposition to me. Vizehu, and this is it. Adayin lo nigmara hamilchama. Umi yodeya efshar shema she'avar aleinu hichevle Mashiach. Ken yesh lanu lidchos es ha'achlata ad la'acharei hamilchama. Nimuk ze yesh bo benos intam v'roi l'tshumas lev. Says Rav Herzog, who's writing this before the Holocaust ends, before World War II is over, that it was pointed out to him, maybe it's premature to institute a day. What's amazing about this paragraph is he had no way of knowing, he had a way of hoping and praying, but no way of knowing that within a couple of years there would be the establishment of the modern state of Israel. So he's writing as if, you know, the Jews for 2,000 years have said, maybe it's Chevle Mashiach. The Inquisition, we said, maybe it's Chevle Mashiach. The Crusades, maybe it's Chevle Mashiach. Chmelnicki, Gezeres Tach V'tat, maybe it's Chevle Mashiach. How many times did we say, maybe it's Chevle Mashiach? Here, he says, maybe it's Chevle Mashiach. Maybe this is the beginnings of the birth pangs of Mashiach. It's the Messianic era, the eschatological era. So it's premature to institute a memorial day or a fast day to commemorate tragedy when that tragedy may be the very catalyst that's bringing Mashiach. He writes that not knowing that within a couple years there's going to be the birth of the modern state of Israel. It's incredible to see this tshuva in the context of history. We have the luxury of reading it afterwards with retrospect, but if you're reading it in the context it's written prospectively, he didn't yet know that. So that's how he concludes, that he thinks that he is entitled to institute a fast day, but he holds back from saying, let's do it. Why? Maybe it's premature. And then there's a hosafa, and then there is an addendum. Oruni gamkein, it was pointed out to me. He doesn't say, I went to go meet with the Brisker Rav. He says, it was pointed out to me. Ala nemar bekinam itein roshimayim, regarding the kina, that ein lahosif moed shever v'tavera, you're not allowed to ask, ve'ein lahaktim zulasi, we have four fast days and that's all we have. You can prove from the Rambam, Rabbi Jachter has an article online proving from the Rambam that all the minor fast days obviously all draw their authority from Tisha B'Av, from the same calamity of Churban. It's Churban based on Mikdash, which drives fast days today. And if it's not connected to that, it's subsumed under Tisha B'Av, but it does not have its own independent fast. L'dati ein ha'perishkach. Rav Herzog says, I don't interpret the kina that way. So Rav Herzog has a very creative suggestion for what the Kina is talking about. The Kina says you can't add days. How does he reinterpret it? What is that Kina talking about? It's talking about the burning of Torahs, the destruction of those who learn it, that took place on Shavuos, the day Torah was given. And that's what it says, Ein lahosev moed shever v'tavira, Ein lahosev l'moed chag ha-shavuos hespidu bechi al shever v'tavira. We have no right to introduce mourning, grief, and sadness to the holiday of Shavuos. That's what the Kina meant. Not that you can't introduce new days altogether, you just can't introduce a new day, namely a new theme to the existing day of Shavuos. Hayinu l'kvo yom lefnei yom tov. El achra l'kibe ilum achram l'makdimen, klomar, and so on. It's a very creative and not compelling interpretation of the Kina. The Kina clearly reads much more the way that the Brisker Rav interprets it. Whether you accept the Brisker Rav's halachic extrapolation or not, his understanding is much more compelling. The ultimately, Rav Herzog, he rejects this interpretation of the Kina, and he argues that it should be permissible. And towards the end of the war, January 1st, 1945, he responds, that's when he's writing this tshuva, and he does say it's premature, but ultimately, Rav Herzog did not establish such a fast day, and in fact, there's no evidence he ever came back to it again. He died July 1959 from this tshuva, the exchange with the Brisker Rav. We have no evidence that he ever comes back to his proposal to establish a new fast day on our calendar. After the war, discussions begin in Israel. What is the best way to commemorate the Holocaust after the war, and of course after the establishment of the modern state of Israel? At first, Tisha B'Av played a very significant role. In the 1950s, a proposal was circulated that 2 days be set aside, one that would correspond with the beginning of the Warsaw Ghetto Uprising to commemorate the heroism, the resistance, and the other on Tisha B'Av, which would be the classic day of Jewish mourning. We wouldn't just have 1 day, we would have 2 days, and the 2 days would correspond with different themes. Tisha B'Av would, the theme of the slaughter, of the death, of the tragedy, and the other corresponding with the Warsaw Ghetto Uprising. In fact, there had already been earlier connections between Tisha B'Av and the Holocaust. I mentioned that the 3 days in 1942, though it was December, they read kinos of Tisha B'Av. Moreover, in 1942, the Chief Rabbinate of England composed, there was a special memorial prayer for the Holocaust that was recited on Tisha B'Av 1942. So already in Tisha B'Av 1942 in England, they had mentioned what was happening, the loss of the Holocaust, in the context of Tisha B'Av. The Chief Rabbinate also wanted to address the matter of the Holocaust commemoration. What was the Chief Rabbinate's suggestion? So, in the Churva Shul of the Old City of Yerushalayim, March 1945, the month of Adar 5705, it decided to designate the last week of Adar as a one-time week of mourning for the victims of the Holocaust, followed by a full fast day on Erev Rosh Chodesh Nisan. We have a precedent, some people Yom Kippur cut and fast on Erev Rosh Chodesh, so the Chief Rabbinate wanted to make the last week of Adar a one-time commemoration of what had happened, but then established Erev Rosh Chodesh Nisan as the repeating memorial day for the Holocaust. That did not take root. That was not widely accepted. But what was accepted? What was more widely accepted, and this was the Chief Rabbinate's suggestion, not Yom HaShoah, but the Chief Rabbinate of Israel instead embraced the idea of Asara B'Teves. Not to integrate the Holocaust into Tisha B'Av, but to integrate it into Asara B'Teves. And they gave a new name, Yom HaKadosh HaKlali. It would be a day set aside to recite Kaddish for those for whom we don't know the day of their Yahrzeit. We don't know when they were killed, we don't know where they're buried, and therefore it's the Yom HaKadosh HaKlali, a day annually to recite Kaddish for all those who we don't know the day of their Yahrzeit. In fact, on page number 5, Rav Yehuda Isser Unterman, who was the Chief Rabbi of Israel from the I think in the late 1950s, early 1960s, the Chief Ashkenazi Rabbi of Israel references this. So, Masara B'Teves Lizkor Lezecher Churban Acharon. Harabanut HaReishit L'Eretz Yisrael Gilgalal L'Yom Chayev Latzum Masara B'Teves Es HaMa'ora HaMar V'Ayom B'Chayenu V'Chayei Kol Ador Shal Beis Yisrael Yom HaZikaron L'Kdoshim L'Sheshes HaMilyon Shal Achinu B'nei Yisrael Shishmidu HaGermanem Yemach Shemam V'Zichram. Rav Unterman references that the Chief Rabbinate, rather than establish a new day, also sought to inter, weave the observance of Holocaust commemoration, not with Tisha B'Av, with Asar B'Teves. Minivuchanetzer, what was the rationale? What was the reason? Why Asar B'Teves? Why not Tisha B'Av? Minivuchanetzer, Melech Bava Shechri V'Yushalayim, Nechamishim Yov L'Hashanim Amala, Ararotzchem HaGermanim, Nimtach HaKav. There's a straight line from the wickedness of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. B'Yom Zeh Echel Melech Bava L'Istair HaChomos Yushalayim. What does Asar B'Teves correspond with? When he breached the walls of Yerushalayim. Ushlite Alma Tarbus beGermania, Asher beEuropa, Imshichu Lachar Alpayim Shesh Meos Ve'Esrim Chamishanim, LaHashrim LaHargas Bnei Ameinu. And after all these years later, the wicked, evil Germans continued on that path. V'Achzarish LaHaisa Kedug Masa, with a cruelty that's unprecedented. B'Damkar, with cold blood, U'V'Tochnit Meduyeket, with exacting detail. With the help of science and technology, with the enlightened of Germany, so what did they establish? The Rabbanut, the chief rabbinate of Israel, that on that day, Asara B'Teves, to light Yizkor candles, Lomar Kaddish, say Kaddish, ulehispalel leilui nishmasam. Atzaros am vaazkarot lektoshim, there should be commemoration ceremonies, ulekilos hakodesh narachos bate knesios rabim, people should gather in shul for Kaddish, kelmale, lighting yuritzite candles to honor the kedoshim who were murdered in the Holocaust. Hakal omer Kaddish v'kam mezmari tehillim, harabanim dorshim me'inyan hayom, the rabbis of course should speak, Chazanim orchem azkaros neshamos, the Chazanim should say a kelmalei benusach miyuchad, to designate a special tune, a special nusach on Asara B'Teves for the Holocaust. Ulachar tefilas aleinu shara kar kulo es himnon aprida shel haktoshim ani mamin. The chief rabbinate said, after the davening aleinu, all those gathered should sing ani mamin. Rabbi noagim latiz labatei kvaros shebemakom, some go out to cemeteries and they honor the ashes of the Kedoshim that were brought to Israel. They rebury the ashes of the martyrs that were brought to Israel. And we feel that day in Yerushalayim, Har Tzion, he describes exactly what takes place. And he writes at the end that B'Shnas Tovshin Yud Beis Niftach Ba'oso Yom Al Har Tzion Ol Hungaria. About the Shoah, there's a plaque that references all of the, and so on. After the davening, uchiyot achar atfilos vasiyurim b'mertafei Shoah, shar kol atzibur shiras ani mamen ve hatikva. Says Rav Unterman, the chief rabbi, Ashkenazi chief rabbi of Israel, when should we observe and memorialize the loss of the Holocaust? Not on Tisha B'Av, nor on Erev Rosh Chodesh Nisan, nor on what we now know today as Yom HaShoah, but rather Asara B'Teves Yom HaKadosh HaKlali, the universal day of Kaddish, to be recited for all those for whom we don't know when they are buried. However, ultimately all these proposals, the last week of Adar, and Erev Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and the Yom HaKadosh HaKlali, Asara B'Teves, were not accepted, they were rejected. First in 1951, and then finally it was voted and became law in 1959, that the 27th of Nisan was designated by the Knesset as the day to commemorate the Holocaust. And on page 6, I have from the translation of the law of Israel, the actual law. 27th of Nisan shall be Martyrs and Heroes Remembrance Day, devoted year after year to the commemoration of the disaster which the Nazis and their collaborators brought upon the Jewish people and the acts of heroism and revolt performed in those days. If the 27th falls on Friday, then it will be observed on the 26th, passed by the Knesset on April 8th, 1955. Remembrance Day shall be marked through the state by a 2-minute silence, during which all work and all road traffic shall be suspended. There should be memorial gatherings, popular rallies, and commemorative functions in the army camps, educational institutions. Flags will be flown at half-mast. Wireless programs shall express the special character of the day. Wireless programs at that time was another way of saying radio. And places of entertainment shall present only features consonant with its spirit. That was established only a few years later, that Israel adopted into law that, first of all, places of entertainment need to be closed. Movie theaters and the like had to be closed on Yom HaShoah. And the vehicles of entertainment, i.e. radio and TV, would only broadcast that which was consistent with the spirit. The minister empowered on the behalf of the government shall consult in consultation with Yad Vashem, issue instructions in accordance with the law. Signed, David Ben-Gurion, Prime Minister, Yitzhak Ben-Tzvi, President of the state. Why was that date chosen? The 27th of Nisan. Why was that date chosen? Anyone know? So most people assume that it's the anniversary of the beginning of the Warsaw Ghetto Uprising. However, Rabbi Schachter points out in his article, that is a misconception. That's a mistaken impression. The Warsaw Ghetto Uprising began on Erev Pesach on the 14th of Nisan, not on the 27th. So why was the 27th chosen? What's significant specifically about that day? What? No. So Rabbi Schachter posits, Rabbi Schachter actually went into the Knesset archives and read, scribbled on yellow pieces of paper that are fading, but the deliberations in the meetings and in the committee when they were debating which date to choose. And he says he has a forthcoming article, this was written 10 years ago, I don't think it's been published yet, to publish those notes, the deliberations, exactly what the debate was about. The date of the 27th of Nisan was chosen, it may disappoint you, not because any event happened on that day, but rather because it was a compromise between those who insisted it be near the beginning of the Warsaw Ghetto Uprising and those who insisted it not be on Pesach and wanted it not in the month of Nisan at all. So a compromise between the dates was chosen the 27th. There's no significance to that day in particular, though it was influenced by people who wanted it to be. And in fact, the full name is not just Yom HaShoah, but it's Yom HaShoah V'Hagvura. Yom HaShoah V'Hagvura, the Gvura, the might of the resistance that people showed, that is its association with the Warsaw Ghetto Uprising. And in fact, that's one of the reasons why there is some opposition to it. Because there are those who feel that we don't commemorate the Holocaust. It's a very Israeli mentality, right? The Israeli mentality is, God forbid, never again, but in the past, when a suicide bomber blew himself up in a cafe, we recently had a general speak on Shabbos morning, and he referenced this as a policy. He was the former head of the Israeli Counter-Terror Bureau, and he said it's a policy that that cafe is cleaned up, put back together, and operational and open within a couple of hours. It's an Israeli tough guy mentality, and I say that not disparagingly, but I say that admiring that we who for so many generations have gone as sheep to slaughter, we who passively were murdered and persecuted, no longer. So you blow up a cafe, we're back there sipping coffee within a few hours. And that same mentality, which is a mentality that was necessary, certainly in the shadow of the Holocaust, to have the courage to found the state of Israel, but that same mentality names Holocaust Memorial Day. Don't think Holocaust Memorial Day is the day we went sheep to the slaughter. The Warsaw Ghetto Uprising. Yom HaShoah V'Hagvura. And some people who oppose or who are shy to embrace Yom HaShoah have a discomfort with the Hagvura component. Both because it seems it seems to cast a negative light on those who did not participate in the physical resistance, those who could not organize themselves and didn't have the opportunity or lacked the courage. It seems to disparage them by only celebrating the Hagvura, those who participated in an uprising like the Warsaw Ghetto, and others because physical resistance was not the only form of resistance in the Holocaust. There was also spiritual resistance. Every year around Yom HaShoah, we study several tshuvas from Rav Oshri's Tshuvos Mimamakim. They are extraordinary stories of spiritual resistance, of those who maybe didn't find a gun or fashion a knife to fight the Nazis, the SS, but who spiritually resisted, never lost their identity, tried to observe mitzvos, even in the most horrific circumstances, and that led some people to oppose. Among those who opposed Yom HaShoah was Rav Moshe Feinstein, Source 7, page 7. Rav Moshe, in the spring of 1982, writes a tshuva, the bottom of the right-hand side, here in Yaradeya. B'tam shelo tikna yom kavul atainas v'tfila l'zecher harugei HaShoah. By the way, you'll note that Rav Moshe calls it Shoah, Rav Unterman called it Shoah, even I think Tshuvas van Hagos, Rav Sternbach, we'll see in a moment, because is it universally accepted that that is the proper Jewish or Torah term, Shoah? We'll come back to that at the very end. So here Rav Moshe writes in the spring of 1982, B'davar agzeros shabavanoseinu harabin erigu erach asara pa'amim shishim rivo 6 million ayidei rishoyim Hitler v'chaveriv yimach shemam shemearoy harei atzorach ezi yom kavu latainus l'tfila. Really, it should have been appropriate. Really, one would have expected a day designated. Let's look in the English. It would have seemed appropriate to establish some designated day. Eze yom kavu latainus l'tfila. You wonder why nothing has yet been done in this regard. Behold, in all the kinos which all Jews recite in Tisha B'Av, it's clearly stated why they established a special day for fasting and mourning for the tragedy of the Crusades. These massacres occurred in all European cities when the majority of Jews lived and where many cities and villages were destroyed. This tragedy is known by name, the year 1096. In Palestine as well, they killed many Jews because it is no longer permitted to establish an additional day for fasting and mourning. It is therefore necessary to mention these tragedies and the elegies that are recited in Tisha B'Av for the very same reason one should not establish a single special day for the tragedies that occurred in our time. These are included among all the tragedies that occurred during the course of this entire long galus. So essentially, Rav Moshe reiterates the very same position of the Brisker Rav. So the Brisker Rav, Rav Velvel, and here Rav Moshe, many years later, in 1982, is echoing the Brisker Rav's same position. Further reasons for opposition. Here, it's hard for you to read. I'm sorry, it came blurry. But on page 8, I share with you from Rabbi Schachter's article 10 reasons that he references why some have opposed. So remember, Rav Herzog proposed establishing a fast day. He wanted it to be in Kislev. And the Brisker Rav rejected it, and Rav Herzog never came back to it. The chief rabbinate's proposal was either Erev Rosh Chodesh Nisan or Asara B'Teves, which has still caught on in the more Haredi community. They will reference Yom HaKadosh HaKlali. They will have Holocaust-themed events in schools and the like on Asara B'Teves. But it was the government of Israel that chose the 27th of Nisan. They did so as a compromise opinion, the day having no specific significance. But many resist, many are hesitant, and many don't embrace Yom HaShoah. And here Rabbi Schachter quotes 10 reasons. I'll run through them very quickly. Number one, the Holocaust, not a unique event requiring its own separate day. It's one horrible tragedy to be plotted along the continuum of other tragedies that the Jewish people throughout history. Indeed, more severe than others, it's part of the same category of tragedies, the loss of the Churban, of the Asara Harugei Malchus, of the Crusades, and of so much more. So it is in magnitude maybe greater, but it is not categorically a different quality of a day, and therefore it's not deserving of its own day. Number two, it's inappropriate to commemorate the Holocaust in Nisan. It's Chodesh HaGeula, the time that we don't say Tachanun, we don't fast, we don't recite a Kel Malay. So how could you institute a sad, somber day within Chodesh Nisan, which is a month full of redemption and joy? What, of course, is the answer to that argument? What do we all begin to do with Pesach? We're not shaving, we're not listening to music, we're observing Sfira. If you can observe Sfira in Nisan, why can't you observe Yom HaShoah? Argument number three, that Yom HaShoah is nothing more than an invention of the secular Zionist Knesset, and they're anti-religious, they have no authority over the religious, and therefore we don't embrace it. Number four says, Rabbi Schachter, I just told you the official name Yom HaShoah V'Agvura, heroism, genuine Jewish heroism, is living a life of morality, optimism, and hope, is spiritual resistance, that's real heroism. Number five, its close proximity to Yom HaTzma'ut gives the impression that the Holocaust was a necessary prelude to the founding of the State of Israel. And therefore, some oppose and say, so as not to suggest, because theologically that's a very uncomfortable conclusion, that the Holocaust was the necessary prerequisite to the founding of the state. That's why. Number six, no single once-a-year day of commemoration is necessary for a community that lives with the aftermath of the Holocaust throughout Torah study and observance of mitzvahs every day of the year. In early editions of Hapardes, of Elberg, the editor of Hapardes, I didn't put it in your source sheets, but I was going through old editions of Hapardes, he wrote that reason. He said, we don't need a special day. We live with the Holocaust every day. The generation of survivors, second generation of survivors, argued, we don't need to designate a special day. The Holocaust is part of our active memory every single day. We can't escape it. Number seven, a one-day commemoration risks falling prey to Mother's Day syndrome, where one day of focus masks 353 days of apathy and neglect. If you give one day, then you'll come to neglect it the rest of the time. Number eight, traditional Jewish response We don't sacrifice suffering. We focus on the rebuilding of the future. That was the perspective of, by the way, the Lubavitcher Rebbe. The Lubavitcher Rebbe was opposed. The Lubavitcher Rebbe, who lost most of his family in the Holocaust and who escaped before the Holocaust, came from France before, but who experienced significant loss. He never talked about the Holocaust, except for one time. Anyone know the one time he spoke about the Holocaust? In one Fabrengen. It was after Rav Shach. After Rav Shach gave a talk on the Holocaust and tried to explain why, and talked about the lack of observance in Europe and the assimilation in Europe, and Rav Shach gave a reason, that was when the Lubavitcher Rebbe broke his tradition and gave a Fabrengen in response to Rav Shach, who was his great rival. We spoke about that previously. And he did so, he said, because he couldn't remain silent and not defend his brothers and sisters and ancestors. God forbid we can accuse them. God forbid they were guilty. God forbid this was a punishment. And the Rebbe gave a very eloquent and articulated a defense of the Jewish people. We don't understand the ways of Hashem. But his general philosophy of the Holocaust, Lubavitcher Rebbe, was that we don't talk about the questions we don't have answers to. We don't try to understand why something like that could happen. Well, essentially, we don't ask lama, we say lama. We don't ask why, we say for what. What can we do? The response to darkness is to spread great light. That was his opposition. Number nine, the pain experienced on the single day designated was so sharp and deep, it would result in ongoing depression that would be so hard to overcome, and therefore we don't make such a day. And finally, number 10, the form of commemoration mandated by Israeli law is not Jewish. Secular ceremonies, right? 2-minute siren, a moment of silence, lowering a flag to half-mast, sad music. These are imitations of what Rabbi Schachter writes are goyish practices. They're not appropriate, they're ineffective. And these are 10 reasons which were offered why opposition grew to Yom HaShoah even after the chief rabbinate established it. Rabbi Soloveitchik, the Rav, Rav Yosef Dov Soloveitchik, followed the position of his uncle and even took it a step further. Source number 9, Rav Schachter quotes in Nefesh HaRav, from the Holocaust and on, several times the proposal was made to designate a day. Like his uncle, his answer always was to reference the Kina. And he went even further. The Rav's position was even further. Namely, not only should we not designate a day, the Rav believed Holocaust kinos should not be written. That's even firmer than the Art Scroll Kinos book. The Art Scroll Kinos book includes 2 kinos, one written by Rav Schwab, and the other written by which Rebbe? Rav Weissman? I don't remember which Rebbe. The Bubba of a Rebbe. I think it's the Bubba of a Rebbe. The Bubba of a Rebbe and Rav Schwab each wrote. Rav Breuer asked Rav Schwab to write one. They both wrote kinos that appear on the Art Scroll kinos. The Rav went further, and he said, not only do we not introduce a new day to commemorate the Holocaust, even within the existing day of Tisha B'Av, we don't introduce new kinos. When we read the kina of the Crusades, when we read the kina of destruction that already was a precedent for the Holocaust, that's when we think of it. And here, Rabbi Schachter, Rabbi J.J. Schachter, in Source 11, references this. In addition, the Rav took a strong position against the recitation of any new kinos written exclusively for the Holocaust. Here, too, the rationale offered by those opposed to this practice were varied. The composition of a kina is the highest spiritual order. No one is any longer on the level. Gedola Yisrael, we're not on that level to write. Number 2, no one today has the linguistic or stylistic ability to capture the intensity of destruction. Number 3, even if one had the ability, the tragedy was so enormous, it could not be described comprehensively, and therefore better not to try to describe it at all. Number 4, since the great leaders who survived the war, like the last Lubavitcher Rebbe, the previous Rebbe, and Rav Isser Zalman Meltzer didn't compose new kinos, why should we think we can? Number 5, no one has the authority to establish new takanos. Number 6, there were counter tragedies, and they didn't each get their own new kina. Number 7, it's a change to tradition. Number 8, all tragedies, including the Holocaust, all stem from Churban Beis HaMikdash. The day is focused on Churban Beis HaMikdash. Nothing else needs to be mentioned. Number 9, let's first make sure we understand and recite with Kavanah the existing kinos before we add new. Number 10, There was one argument went so far as to suggest the Holocaust was not worthy of new kinos. Of course, these are not Rabbi J.J. Schachter's positions. As a scholar, in writing this article, he culled all the literature from the time and drew these as the opposition that was leveled. But it's surprising that the Rav himself, Rabbi Soloveitchik, the Rosh Hashiva of Yeshiva University, the Rav, the father of modern Orthodoxy, was not only opposed to Yom HaShoah, was opposed to composing a new kina. And here, Rabbi Schachter quotes the Rav verbatim. And the Rav said the following: "In imitation of a kina was written for those killed by Hitler in the 1940s, and not badly written. Some rabbis in Eretz Yisrael accepted it, but I do not like it. I do not like new prayers. I cannot use it because, in my opinion, there's no one, no contemporary, who has the quality indispensable for writing prayers. I'm always reluctant to accept new compositions. In general, I do not trust anyone who tells me he intends to compose a prayer." So the Rav was opposed to it. "Prayer is not just a hymn, a copy of a conversation with the Kodesh Baruch Hu and a human being. Who can write such a conversation? Only the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. That's why we're so careful about every word in the Nusach HaTfilah. I cannot trust others to do it. Not that I'm suspicious. Not that I, God forbid, have anything against the author of a contemporary kina. I just do not believe that in a contemporary has the inner ability, the faith, the depth, the sweep of experience, the ecstasy, the taras hanefesh, the purity of soul, to authorize him or give him permission to write a piyut." So as a result, the Rav insisted when one reads the kinos about the Crusades that we relate not only to the devastation of the Rhine Valley Jewish communities in Germany, but that we relate it to the Holocaust as well. And that's what the Rav has there in the next quote. That was Rabbi Soloveitchik's position. You might be interested to know, and the Rav advocated and lobbied, in fact, that rather than Yom HaShoah or a new kina on Tisha B'Av, the Holocaust should simply be wrapped into the observance of Tisha B'Av. In the summer of 1977, the newly elected Prime Minister Menachem Begin paid a visit to the United States, and Source 12 is an article by the Rav's grandson, Rav Moshe Lichtenstein, the current Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshiva Har Etzion. And in this article, Rav Moshe Lichtenstein talks about that in 1977, the newly elected Prime Minister Menachem Begin paid a visit to the United States and visited my grandfather and teacher, Rabbi Soloveitchik. Just as an aside, Rabbi Schachter brings in a footnote that other references talk about the Rav went to the Waldorf to meet Menachem Begin there. Though Rav Moshe Lichtenstein quotes Menachem Begin as having visited the Rav. In any case, they met. In the course of their conversation, the Rav proposed to the Prime Minister Yom HaShoah in Israel be annulled as a separate day of mourning and be included instead within the framework of Tisha B'Av. So remember, it was voted on first in 1951 and then codified in Israeli law in 1959. You're talking almost 20 years after Yom HaShoah has been in observance. The Rav appeals to Menachem Begin, the Prime Minister, to revoke, to annul Yom HaShoah and instead have it be part of Tisha B'Av. As is our custom concerning the martyrs of the Crusades, in support of his suggestion, he quoted from one of the kinos, and so on. Listen to what Rav Moshe Lichtenstein writes. "It seems to me the state acted correctly in not accepting the Rav's proposal." It's pretty bold. "It seems to me that the state was correct in not accepting my grandfather's proposal. In our generation, it is indeed fitting that a special day be set aside as a dedicated day of remembrance for the Holocaust. While the time may come when it will be included, be appropriate to adopt the Rav's approach and to include Yom HaShoah within the framework of Tisha B'Av, as long as the wound is still fresh and has not yet healed, we cannot integrate the commemoration of the Holocaust with our mourning for other tragedies of Jewish history whose memory is more distant and remote." So the Rav's own grandson rejects his grandfather and great uncle's position and says, maybe one day you're right. And in fact, maybe it's not a machlokas. Maybe the Rav and Rav Elva are right in perpetuity, just like the 20th of Sivan has faded and is no longer marked as a fast day. Yom HaShoah will, with time, fade. But argues Rav Moshe Lichtenstein, Kozman, as long as we have survivors, the wound is fresh. The scab hasn't even fully formed. We need an outlet. We need expression. It's unfair to simply integrate it into the existing day. The state was correct to reject my grandfather and to maintain Yom HaShoah. Back to Rabbi Schachter in Source 13. He points out there was strong opposition to Begin's proposal. It's actually astounding. Begin met with the Rav. The Rav asked Begin to do this, and Begin went back, went to the Knesset as the new prime minister, and advocated to annul Yom HaShoah after it was observed for 20 years. In a conversation, Rav Aaron Lichtenstein told me, said Rabbi J.J. Schachter, that Begin convened a meeting in the Beit HaNasih of some 60 intellectuals to discuss switching Yom HaShoah to Tisha B'Av, and not a single person present supported it. The arguments voiced against the proposal included, one, if the day commemorating the Holocaust would be in the summertime, an important educational opportunity to teach about the horrible Jewish tragedy in the Israeli school system would be lost. Number two, Tisha B'Av would be swallowed up by Yom HaShoah, or Yom HaShoah would be swallowed up by Tisha B'Av. In Israel and in the diaspora, Yom HaShoah V'Agvura continues to be observed on the 27th of Nisan Ad Hayom Hazeh. So Yom HaShoah, to give it a historical context, was not introduced by Rabbanim. Yes, Rav Herzog wanted to institute a fast day, but it's not Yom HaShoah. It was rejected by Rav Elvel. The Rabbanut gave Asara B'Teves. This is a law of the government of Israel that established the 27th of Nisan. And Briskers oppose it. The Rav and his Talmidim, in principle, oppose it, to the point that he tried to convince Prime Minister Begin to change it. And as I mentioned, the former chancellor of JTS thought it should be on Tisha B'Av. And here's one more source, Rav Eliezer Melamed. Rav Eliezer Melamed is today the Rosh Hashiva of Har Bracha. He's one of the post-Kim rabbinic leaders of the Datit Tzioni world in Israel, religious Zionist world in Israel. And here is an article he wrote. He says, the Knesset established the law, 27th is to be considered Holocaust Heroism Memorial Day, set aside in memory of the Holocaust. A siren will sound. He quotes all the laws. However, unlike Israel's Memorial Day for Fallen Soldiers, which was approved by the Chief Rabbinate, Holocaust and Heroism Memorial Day was instituted against the will of the Rabbinate. This is one of the Datit Tzioni Rav Melamed, the author of the Pnine Halacha, says, unlike Yom HaZikaron, which had the endorsement and the support of the Chief Rabbinate, Yom HaShoah never did. Why? Because Nisan is traditionally a month of joy, and Jewish law rules that throughout the month of Nisan, we don't say Tachanun, nor do we establish public fast days or eulogize. Many people customarily refrain from visiting the cemetery during Nisan. And if a person has a yahrzeit to observe during the month of Nisan, the grave is visited in the last day of Adar, not in Nisan. In light of this, establishing a memorial day for the victims of the Holocaust is obviously inappropriate. Rather, the most fitting time to establish such a day is on one of the existing fast days, and indeed the Chief Rabbinate chose the fast of the 10th of Teves as a general day of sanctification for martyrs whose date of death is unknown. It would appear that in light of the circumstances, the best way to imbue the 27th of Nisan with an appropriate character would be to establish it as a day dedicated to the promotion of the Jewish family. Certainly, the last request of the 6 million martyrs must have been that the Jewish people preserve and thrive, that the tremendous suffering endured by our nation for so many generations not be in vain, that every remaining Jew should strive to many reproduce and preserve our Jewish heritage in keeping with the Pasuk. It is therefore fitting on this day public figures should work to come up with ways to support Jewish marriage and birth. Teachers should discuss our great responsibility to preserve and increase the Jewish people. When the siren is sounded on Yom HaShoah, we can think about ways to nurture the growth of the Jewish people on behalf of the dead. By doing this, we will avoid any expression of mourning or memorializing the deceased, will instead be given expression to the sort of revival and rebirth appropriate in the month of Nisan. In addition, such thoughts will not constitute a waste of Torah study time. Nonetheless, even if a person chooses not to dwell upon such matters, he should not behave differently than the general public. So, Rav Melamed, again, this is not a representative of the Haredi world, not a disciple of the Brisker Rav, one of the leaders of the Datzit Tzioni world, who also objects to Yom HaShoah, saying it never had the support of the Chief Rabbinate. The Chief Rabbinate wanted Asara B'Teves. Now that it's been established, which should not deviate, you should stand still for the siren. You should not fail to participate. Now that it has been established, it would be wrong not to participate, but one should participate in these other more meaningful ways. I want to share with you just a couple of tshuvos that also deal with this question. If you believe, first of all, if you don't believe Yom HaShoah should exist on that day, or even if you do believe it should exist, these are not Jewish formulas of commemoration. A moment of silence, a siren, we don't have a precedent. Shulchan Aruch doesn't talk about a moment of silence. Shulchan Aruch doesn't talk about a siren. So is that Chukas Ha'akum? Is it imitating the Gentile world, and should it be prohibited? So here, the Chief Rabbi of Tel Aviv, Rav Chaim David Halevi, and his tshuvas Aseh Lecha Rav, has a tshuva on this question. Maybe it's Bittul Torah. He's talking both Yom HaZikaron and Yom HaShoah. What should a student in yeshiva do when the siren goes off on Yom HaZikaron and on Yom HaShoah? You could read it, I don't want to take the time, but he says it's not bit the Torah. First of all, you must participate. You have to be part of the Jewish nation, part of the Jewish people. If you want to keep learning in your head while you're standing silently. Nobody tells you how to observe the moment of silence. The atheist can observe it the way he wants, and the yeshiva student can observe it the way he wants. You can say Tehillim, you can Chazer Mishnayos, but you should participate with the nation and with the community. It is the proper thing to do. Rav Aviner too, on the bottom of page 14, in his Sheila Shlomo, Rav Aviner is the Rav of Beit El and the Rosh Hashiva of Ateret Kohanim. He talks about, what about this question of Nisan? How is it that we could have Sviras HaOmer in Nisan? And how is it we could have Yom HaShoah? And he answers on the right column. Ein zeh din gamor limana me'aveles b'chodesh Nisan. Vadei aveles shiva shloshim inu nidches. What if you lose a loved one, you don't observe Shiva? People sit Shiva in Nisan. People maintain Shloshim in Nisan. Elazo minag. V'chein aveles yimei sfira, ein aveles gemur ela zecher. L'chein ein stira b'nen yonim. V'lo od, ela, l'maschilin zman miktas aveles b'pesach, arei yein in esteris ha'yidei chol ha'moed. We start observing Sfira, technically, with Sfira, even in chol ha'moed. V'chein ein zesosu yom ha'shoah v'ha'gvura, she'enu yom hesped u'bechi, ela yom ha'rachal v'naflim ha'zorus. Yom HaShoah is not a day to cry and mourn and grieve. It's a day to reflect and introspect. It's a day to recommit to Jewish continuity, to think about the people who were lost. So therefore, it's not a stira. He says it's not a contradiction to Nisan. Nisan is forbidden to give eulogies. Yom HaShoah is not a time for eulogies. Yom HaShoah is a time for reflection and for introspection. He also has a tshuva, the left-hand column, standing for the siren on Yom HaZikaron. And like Rav Chaim David Alevi, he too says it's not a problem. Ein beze iser, it's not chukas ha'akum, there's no idolatrous reason. It has logic to it. La'am Yisrael yutamid rachim acheros. True, we the Jewish people, we did other things like saying Kaddish, or learning Mishnayos, or giving a Dvar Torah, or reciting a Kel Malay, or davening Avarachamim. We have lots of different alternative vehicles or ceremonies to observe. However, im Am Yisrael noeg lakum lezecher noflim, ein lefrosh minatzibur. If that's what the Jewish people, as a people and nation, are doing, one should not separate from the community. In fact, Rav Tzvi Yehuda Cook wrote, ha'amida bezman ha'tzvira l'chalalei tzal on Yom HaZikaron, standing for the siren, yesh ba mitzvah kedusha shel zichron kvod ha'kdoshim. There's a sacred mitzvah to honor those who gave their lives. And if that's true for the Yom HaZikaron, certainly true for Yom HaShoah as well. Not only is it not a goyish practice, which is forbidden, if that's what everyone's doing, you should do it. And if you do it in a meaningful way, you've turned it into a holy experience. The last source here is an article from the Jewish Observer, Agudas Yisrael's magazine, October 1977. This was an extraordinarily controversial article, because this article was the notes on a discourse that was delivered by Rav Huttner, Zatzal, June 1976, where Rav Huttner addressing theodicy, theology, why the Holocaust happened. Became a very controversial talk that Rav Huttner gave, and here in the Jewish Observer, it was the notes, the discourse was codified, and part of it is he has a whole discussion in the bottom left of the first page, of page 15. In all quests for the truth, we must return to the origins. The term Shoah was coined by the founders of Yad Vashem. They were convinced the tragedy of European Jewry was so unique in its proportional dimension, no previous phrase could encompass its meaning. Undoubtedly, to a certain degree, they were correct. Indeed, the destruction of hundreds of thousands of Jewish communities was unique in its proportions and dimensions. Yet, by singling out the quantitative differences, those who sought a new terminology for these events missed the essence of their uniqueness. And he goes on and he talks about, you have the source booklet, you could read his whole article, it's 4 or 5 pages in here. But at the very end of it, the very last page of your source book, page 20, it's interesting to note a news story from August 1977. Yad Vashem opposes the commemoration of Yom HaShoah on Tisha B'Av. It wasn't just that the Rav wasn't successful, Menachem Begin wasn't successful, the Brisker Rav wasn't successful, the Chief Rabbinate, but Yad Vashem made Yom HaShoah, and it wasn't just that Yom HaShoah was established by the Knesset, they opposed the commemoration of Yom HaShoah on Tisha B'Av. A call to Prime Minister and the Knesset to reopen investigations of the transferring of Yom HaShoah from the month of Nisan to the 9th of Av was received yesterday at a meeting of the Governing Council of Yad Vashem. According to the chairman of the council, the vote was 16 against changing the day, 1 for the resolution, 2 abstaining. The sole dissenter was Rav Levi Yitzhak Rabinovich, Vice Mayor of Yerushalayim. Council demanded the government strengthen recognition and awareness of Holocaust and heroism as a prime pedagogical and ethical force in education. As you can imagine, the observer, the Jewish observer, is quoting this as a defeat, meaning that Yad Vashem was in this case, an adversary. They wanted it to be on Tisha B'Av, and here you have Yad Vashem lobbying against it. As a postscript, my thoughts. So just to summarize, and then I want to share one quick thought in closing. The summary is that we take for granted, I think young people today would take for granted, that Yom HaShoah is on the calendar. It's Pesach, there's Purim, there's Hanukkah, there's Rosh Chodesh, there's Yom HaTzmaut, there's Yom HaZikaron, there's Yom HaShoah. But Yom HaShoah is in a category unto itself. Because while the Rabbanut HaReshit introduced Yom HaTzmaut, Yom Yerushalayim, and even Yom HaZikaron, Yom HaShoah is the invention of Knesset without the support to this day, technically, an endorsement of the Chief Rabbinate. It had strong opposition. Lubavitcher Rebbe, Rav Elvel, Briskerov, the Rav, Chancellor of JTS. I don't think he opposed Yom HaShoah. He just thought it should be observed on Tisha B'Av. So it's not a simple matter by any stretch. It had strong opposition. The attitude was it should be woven and integrated into Tisha B'Av. Now that it exists, poskim of our world say, even if you wouldn't have set it up on, because I thought to myself as I was preparing this the last day or two, the Talmidim of the Rav all observe Yom HaShoah. I didn't have time. I wanted to call Rabbi Schachter and ask him, in Maimonides in Boston, did they not note Yom HaShoah in school? Did the Boston community, anyone here from Boston? Did the Boston community not recognize or identify with Yom HaShoah? One could have had a healthy debate before it was established. But once it's established, to fail to participate is to withdraw from the Jewish community. Moreover, Yom HaShoah is meaningful to survivors. For survivors to attend gatherings and events and know that people are not there because they oppose, when Yom HaShoah for them is, I don't want to say cathartic or therapeutic, but if anything can give them some comfort, it's the knowledge that people are recognizing their loss, what they went through, and are committed to keep the memory alive. So one could have had the debate to begin with, but once Yom HaShoah exists, and you saw the echoes of this in Rav Aviner, Asay Lecha Rav, and others, even Rav Malamed, that once it exists, it's appropriate to attend. We struggle every year. I give a drush of the Shabbos before Yom HaShoah, and I've published my articles online, almost the same article now every year, which essentially I'm trying to make people feel guilty. That's what it's come to, is how could you not come to Yom HaShoah program? How could you not bring your children? How much longer will we have survivors that they can look at and point to? Heroes who've maintained faith after the worst atrocity experienced in the history of mankind. How could you not come and honor them and their experience by being here? But I predict, and it's not my own bold prediction, that when the survivors are no longer here, Yom HaShoah will go the way of the 20th of Sivan. We see it already. The millennials, younger generation, they commemorate the Holocaust. First of all, they don't want their identity to be a Holocaust identity. You talk about a birthright generation, they absolutely are repelled by and they reject the idea that their Jewish identity, the notion that the Jewish identity is Holocaust driven, they're absolutely repelled by that. And that in itself is a reason that they're not into commemorating the Holocaust. And if they do, it's by posting something online, it's by sharing a meme or a picture or a video to come to a commemoration or an event, which to this day, we've struggled to give form and meaning. The Jewish community, the observant community, has not universally accepted any ritual, any tefillah. It lacks any foundation or template that makes it ritualistic or that gives any sense of consistency. We know what hakafos look like in Simchas Torah, whatever shul you're in the world. We know what Purim night's going to look like in any shul in the world, the Megillah. But Yom HaShoah, every year the committee sits down and tries to figure out, who should the speaker be? Is there a movie to show? What should we do? So a combination of the struggle to find a meaningful individual program every year, with the fact that the younger generation further removed with every day from the memory of the Holocaust and no longer want to identify with the Holocaust, sadly, or maybe not sadly, in the greater scope of Jewish history, Yom HaShoah will likely fade. And that's why it has significance in Tisha B'Av. Because you know what? When we sit on the floor, how many of us, our entire knowledge of the burning of the books of the Rambam, and the burning of the Sifrei Torah in the square in Paris, and the story of the Crusades, and it only comes because of Tisha B'Av. Because every year we sit here, and we read those kinos, and they're introduced by the historical context. So, though Yom HaShoah will likely fade, the memory of the Shoah never will, because of the kinos that have already been composed that are part of the liturgy, despite the Rav's opposition on Tisha B'Av mourning, and because those who continue to host explanations of Tisha B'Av will continue to draw inspiration from the Holocaust story. It's a complicated issue, not clear-cut historically, and we are in the middle of this history, right? We are very much right in the middle of what will be with Yom HaShoah. This talk will be very different in 10 years, and 20 years, and certainly in 50 or 60 years, where the term Yom HaShoah may be as foreign as the fast of the 20th of Sivan, and it will be obvious to all that it's something which is designated on Tisha B'Av. I'm speaking of my experience in the United States. Israel, where it's much more institutionalized, TV, radio, stores being closed, schools dedicated to that topic, tekes in every community, it's a very different story, the siren. But in the American scene, or outside of Israel, I think Yom HaShoah is, the story is not yet fully told. Thanks for coming tonight. Thank you for coming to the 20th Century Moments That Mattered.